to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 21st of October 2020. Plenty to get through on the show. Andrew May to take you through it all for the next 25 minutes before we head into the Breakfast Club. Let's start in the footy world with Patrick Dangerfield. Give us an update on the most famous tonsils in the AFL. How's Tom Hawkins going?
I haven't seen him today, but I'm not too concerned. I think it might have been a bit overblown. We all train in separate groups today, but our main session's tomorrow night, and I'm sure he'll be out there.
It was pretty worrying when those headlines came through, but all seems okay at the Cats with Tom Hawkins on track to play on Saturday night. Meanwhile, in the racing world, what a dramatic day it was yesterday. In case you missed any of it, head to the podcast, rsn.net.au. It was an extraordinary barrier draw that saw Buckhurst left out. This was the immediate reaction from Nick Williams talking to Michael Brow on RSN yesterday.
We rated a Group 1 third in the Caulfield Guineas ahead of Buckhurst's Group 3 wins.
Wow, that pretty much summed it up. We'll hear more from Nick Williams and all the reaction from the barrier draw, including Danny O'Brien on Russian Camelot's trip from the car park, next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
So much to get through on a very busy Wednesday morning. Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning, Half and Whitey, to guide you through your Wednesday. The early mail before 7 o'clock. After 7, Sherelle McMahon. She'll still be in party mode. Looking forward to hearing from her later on today. Jed Buse, Geelong midfielder Michael Rodd, after he got the ride of Master of Wine, and Simon Black, all to come on a very busy edition. Then don't forget, after 8:30 this morning, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And then after 10:30, as always, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. Lots to get through, I'm sure, in all the dissection of the barrier draw, plus a bit of a reversal. In case you're just waking up, a big reversal of the decision last night by the Victorian government to allow fans or a few owners. That is no longer. We'll bring you the latest on that in just a second. Let's head to the AFL world first of all. We'll start with Joel Selwood here, speaking about Tom Hawkins, who went missing yesterday. No one knew where he was. He unfortunately was a little bit crook and he'd been isolated from his teammates.
No, I mean, this happens regularly, that if a player is anywhere under the weather, especially this year, that they stay away from the rest of the group. So this is nothing new to us. It's just that it's such a big week, and Tom will have to just stay away for a little while, but we'll be seeing him tomorrow. We're still, 4 days away from the game, so we will get Tom in the nick that he needs to for the game, and he'll be absolutely fine.
What did the Geelong captain have to say about another grand final appearance?
Oh, it means everything to me to lead it out every single weekend, to be honest. But this is, I mean, it's been a special week so far, even hearing from a lot of great teammates where I was in an era that probably dragged me along a little bit. But just to sort of remind myself of what the taste was when we got it. So I'm excited. Mum and Dad are up here, which is a beautiful thing. They made their way through Darwin. And then, yeah, Scott's obviously still here from his stint with Collingwood. So it's nice to have some family around. But this hub situation that we've been in this year is just, it's been an unbelievable experience and we've had great fun with it.
So from the experience of Joel Selwood to the inexperience of Jake Colajasny, he spoke yesterday ahead of his first ever grand final.
Just trying to keep it as exciting as possible. Obviously, it's probably a bit more relaxed up here in Queensland, away from, I guess, the footy bubble and back home in Victoria. So just having a bit of fun with it, mate, today. So it's been good. Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, it's been a long year, a lot of hard work going into this stage to get to where we are. So seeing all the support back home is awesome. You know, hopefully we can, you know, go all the way and bring that the cup back home and celebrate with those guys. Oh, mate, it's super. I've played in a few prelims so far. Lucky enough to do that. And obviously we haven't quite gone all the way, but, you know, obviously taking that next step this week, so mate, really going to jump at the opportunity. I know the boys are super excited. I just can't wait for the challenge, and you know, hopefully we can go all the way, mate.
Jake Colajesny there speaking yesterday with an impressive backing track there on the Geelong website. So he enters his first grand final with a few interesting matchups for him in the forward line for the Tigers. Let's head now to the Tigers. We'll start with Dion Prestia, who spoke about what he's had to overcome in terms of injury this year in making the grand final.
I was kind of hoping that the fixture wouldn't get cut down anymore. I know there was a lot of 4 and 5 day breaks, which wasn't helping me to get back. It wasn't enough just to have oral antibiotics. I'd have it's called a PICC line that goes in through your arm. It definitely had some doubts, you know. I was sitting in hospital, I think, when we played the Gold Coast game. That was the night I had my second surgery, and it was just...
Personally, I probably didn't think I'd be able to come back, but I got huge amount of confidence from our doctors and physios, just kind of saying that my syndesmosis has had more time to heal. I got the same day Toby got his surgery, and he came back after about 6 weeks, and it took me about 12. So and just seeing the way that he performed, the way that Shane Edwards and Basher Hooley came back and performed, that probably gave me a lot of confidence that I'll be able to come in and still have a good impact.
We've had some pretty good games against Geelong. I know last year's preliminary final was a amazing game, and they really got a hold of us in the first half, and then were able to turn it around.
More to come from the Tigers a little later in the breakfast bite, including David Asprey and Marlon Pickett. Plus, we'll hear from Patrick Dangerfield and also Ken Hinckley, who's still hurting from Friday night's preliminary final loss. Let's head to the racing world now. In case you missed the Cox Plate Barrier draw, it was a dramatic day yesterday, with Buckhurst being named as the emergency after the committee deliberated and made their final decision. So that meant that Grand Slam, the three-year-old, goes into the field. Buckhurst misses out. Fair to say Nick Williams wasn't too happy. He was fairly dismayed by the decision by the committee, but gave them full respect. Here was Nick Williams on RSN yesterday.
I'm shocked, to be honest with you, but, you know, it's the club can make any decision they like, and, you know, I'm a sportsman, and I just wish them a good race. But I am absolutely shocked because I can't find any reason, for example, how Master of Wine gets in before Buckhurst. He's not Group 1 place. Only 7 days ago, Buckhurst has giving him a kilo and a half, has beaten him a length or a length and a half in the Caulfield Cup. Seems illogical to me. And then you've got, you know, what seems to be a total disregard of the rules of racing, whereby, you know, it's pretty clear in the rules of racing, if you've got a late entry in a race, it goes to the bottom of the ballot order, and that's the three-year-old, you know, which, by the way, is probably only rated about 80. But so that seems to have just, we've seemed to have disregarded the rules of racing there, which is fine. But no, I'm shocked, to be honest with you, and, yeah, very disappointed. But, you know, I wish the club well in the race.
Nick Williams there speaking yesterday. We'll hear more from Michael Brow a little later as to why that decision was made to omit Buckhurst from the field. Let's head now to Danny O'Brien, though. This was his immediate reaction after Russian Camelot, unfortunately for Camelot backers, drew barrier number 15.
I'll put Damien on the horse and he'll go to the barriers, and then they'll open and Damien will ride the horse. Like, that's why you have good jockeys. You don't have to worry about how it's going to pan out if you've got an outstanding rider on a horse. And yeah, we've certainly got that.
As you can see there, Danny O'Brien not too fussed with barrier number 15. Just to run you through the full field, Colding will jump from barrier 10, Humidor in 14, Fierce Impact in 12, Master of Wine drew 1, Mugatu from 9, Aspitar from 3, Sir Dragonay from 7, Magic Wand in 4, Arcadia Queen in 8, Natoya 13, Russian Camelot 15, Armory 6, Probabil 2, and Grand Slam 5, with Buckhurst the emergency in 11. So that will be a fascinating Saturday. It was a fascinating half hour of radio yesterday. In case you missed any of it, head to the website rsn.net.au or subscribe to the Racing Pulse podcast at your local podcast store. Let's head now to the NRL. The build-up continues for the Melbourne Storm on the way to another grand final. One man who's missed out on all of the success is Christian Welsh, having done a couple of ACLs. And he went on an overseas trip this time last year, which just put things into perspective. He was the Ford yesterday.
you know, going through my injuries, doing two ACLs, you know, going to Uganda, working with Camp Quality and seeing some of these kids and families really struggling. You know, having a dodgy knee for a few months is, you know, pales in significance compared to the issues of a lot of other Australians going through.
Good stuff there from Christian Welch. The Melbourne Storm take on the Panthers on Sunday up there in Sydney. Let's head to the cricketing world now, where there was quite a bit of action in the Sheffield Shield yesterday, including Tasmania, who have been able to pile on the runs on day two. McDermott falling just short of his century.
Flat ball pulled. Great shot from McDermott. Has it gone all the way? It has. Six runs.
He got going late with three sixes in his innings, but he was dismissed for 90 as Lloyd Pope caught him off the bowling of Kane Richardson from 191 delivery. So nice innings there to steady things for Tasmania, who were 2 for 14 overnight. They turned that into 5 for 311 at stumps on day two. So they lead by 116 runs with 5 wickets still left in the shed. Tim Payne, one of the not out batsmen at the crease, he's 22 not out. Jack Doran is 82 not out. So nice platform there for Tasmania to build a big first innings lead and give them a chance on the final day, you would assume. In terms of the bowlers, Chad Sayers took 3 for 21. Cam Richardson, 2 for 55. Agar Scott and Lloyd Pope went wicketless between the three of them. So Tasmania in quite a commanding position there in the Sheffield Shield. Meanwhile, in the other Shield game between New South Wales and Western Australia, New South Wales finally declared at 6 for 443. Moses Enrique's innings coming to an end at 167. The standout batsman for New South Wales. Peter Neville was not out 56 and Sean Abbott not out 60, so they were piling on the runs. Western Australia in reply, they're going nicely as well. 2 for 152, trailing by 291 runs. The not out batsman at the crease, Sam Whiteman, is 81 not out. And Cameron Green, Whitey's man, is 31 from 90 deliveries. Sean Marsh was out for 6 and Cam Bancroft out for 23. So those two not really doing their Australian prospects many favours in their innings there. Sean Abbott with 2 for 42, the only wicket taker for New South Wales at this stage. Nathan Lyon took none for 35 from his 12 overs, including two maidens. So we'll keep you updated over the next 24 hours as to what happens there. Time for a break at 5:45. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on the IPL from last night. A bit more cricket news with India set to arrive in Australia fairly shortly. NFL from yesterday. The rest of your footy and racing news on a big Wednesday morning.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Just outside the 5. Flip it to Christian Kirk. Got the angle and got the touchdown for the Cardinals.
Cardinals way too good yesterday for the Cowboys, beating them 38 points to 10. Meanwhile, the Chiefs over the Bills, 26-17. Week 7 of the NFL. Can't believe we're in week 7 already. We'll start on Friday morning with Thursday night footy over there in the US. Now, just some breaking news in case you're just waking up. Late yesterday, it was announced that crowds or owners, up to 500 owners, would be permitted across the Cox Plate Carnival, which was fantastic news for everyone involved there. Fair to say the backlash was quite large from the general public. And the government last night, this coming through only 7 hours ago, has reversed their decision. So this is a statement from Martin Pakula on Twitter yesterday, or late last night, issued at 10 past 10 last night. The decision to allow some owners on course for the 100th edition of the Cox Plate was motivated only by respect for the occasion and a desire to mark a small step on the path to reopening. It was a mistake given that other restrictions remain in place and we've heard the community feedback. Tonight I've spoken to the Moonee Valley Racing Club and the decision's been reversed. Owners won't return to the track until we reach the next stage of easing of restrictions. I apologise for any upset that has been caused. So, fair to say, just in on top of the drama of the barrier draw yesterday, more drama late last night in terms of Cox Plate 100. But we'll all be enjoying it from home with RSN on all day, hopefully. Let's head now to a little bit of the cricket from overnight with the IPL happening. The Delhi Capitals, despite a century from Shikhar Dhawan, who made 106 from 61 deliveries, he was not out. They weren't able to get the job done over Kings XI Punjab, who chased down the target with an over remaining. 5 for 164, the Delhi Capitals made. The only Aussie in the lineup there, Marcus Stoinis, made 9 from 10 before he was dismissed. Meanwhile, Kings 11 Punjab made 5 for 167. Glenn Maxwell making 32 from 24 deliveries. So they got there fairly easily in the end with 6 balls remaining. In terms of the bowling, now Maxie did have a trundle. He took 1 for 31 from his 4 overs. So not too bad considering most of his teammates went for 8 and 10 and over. Let's head now to we might stay with cricket with Alan Border here, talking about the Indian tour in summer. He still can't believe the details haven't been finalised and we're only a month away from, or a little over a month away from the first ball being bowled.
And it just seems ridiculous that we haven't sort of come to some compromise situation. But I suppose it's been, you know, you've got to sort of deal with governments as well. It's one thing for the cricket side to say, OK, look, we've got things sorted out, but if the Queensland government is putting roadblocks in the road or New South Wales or wherever they've decided that they're going to spend their first hub, now, that's an issue, isn't it? But it'd be at the top shop. It'd be Earl Eddings as the chairman of Cricket Australia, talking to Sourav Ganguly. He'd be he's the boss at the BCCI. And they would be, it'd be right at that top echelon of discussions and trying to work out what the best course of action is. So the Indians want to come to Australia, there's no doubt about that. They might be playing a bit of hardball about where they play and who they're playing against initially, but and where they're going to, you know, have their initial hub. But the bottom line is Australia, India, it's going to be special.
Back to the racing world now. Let's hear from Michael Brown on the decision yesterday to omit Buckhurst from the Cox Plate field and name him as first emergency.
There was certainly plenty of discussion after the Tuesday morning last year, and I'll say to the listeners, the committee do take this very, very seriously. There's a lot of work that goes into assessing the performances of each of the horses, and half of the challenge too is looking forward. What is the potential? Which horses have the upside? Which ones do we think will springboard off this and go on to much better things? And last year there was a mixed view on a horse like Tiako Shark, came out of course and ran third. So it'll be interesting how history views the decision that's been taken this morning, but the committee's certainly comfortable with the 14 that'll face the starter on Saturday.
Michael, is Greg Carpenter involved in the discussion? Is Greg Carpenter involved in the discussion in regards to handicap? I mean, Mugatu is the other one that I'm staggered that he wasn't in the discussion of the four horses you were umming and ahhing about. He won a low-grade race, the Newcastle Cup, to be brutally honest, and then ran second in a pretty low-grade Metropolitan Handicap. How does he get ahead of a horse like Buckhurst, who's been winning Group 3 races and giving weight to horses like Sir Dragonair and beating him?
Yeah, the international rating is also one of the factors we take into consideration, and you may agree or you may disagree, but Mugatu's come through with an international rating of 118. And one thing that we do take into consideration is their performances at Group 1 level. Now, to run second in a Metropolitan, you look back to one of the great Cox Plate wins of all time. Saintly couldn't win a Metropolitan, and then he came out, of course, and won the epic Cox Plate back in 1996. So, you know, there is some history there with the pathway that connections have elected to take. You know, question mark, did he quite run out the 2,400 metres? Not sure. But he's also a horse that does come in with the X factor. So we're keen to see what he can do on Saturday. And then
there we go. Interesting debate yesterday on Racing Pulse. Let's head to Danny O'Brien now, who was happy to see some pace back in the race after Russian Camelot drew barrier number 15.
Yeah, well, look, Caulfield was what it was because it was, you know, it was five runners and it really there was only two live chances. Or probably, to be fair, Humidor as well, but it was very much a firm deck and a barrier trial speed. You'd think in a Cox Plate, with the 14 runners and an even group, that there's going to be a bit more tempo on. And Grand Slam seemed to race really well running along in the Caulfield Guinea, so I doubt they'd be looking to change tactics with him. Whatever happens, it certainly won't be anywhere nearly as slowly run as what the Caulfield Stakes was.
Let's head back to the footy world with Patrick Dangerfield here, chatting about the upcoming grand final. A big chance for him to claim that premiership that has eluded him so far.
It's one thing to get there, but obviously
the challenge is to get there and win it. So whilst it's enjoyable to be a part of it all, the challenge is still very much ahead of us and one we're going to really embrace. We'll review the game this afternoon and then main training and sort of preview Richmond tomorrow. So that's where I played the last couple of weeks. It'll continue to evolve as the game sort of flows, but you know, we've structured up pretty well, I think, over the last few weeks.
Here's what he had to say about the Tigers, their opponents this weekend.
You know, when you get the momentum swings and you're playing the game in your forward half, we've got to make sure that we capitalise with those opportunities. Richmond can obviously score really quickly and they move the ball quickly, but we're definitely a different side to that last year. I think, you know, we're playing well at the right time. It's not to say we didn't start that game really well, but, you know, there's many respects we're different in the way we've approached this year as well. We are more about the present and what we can control. We can't change past finals results, so it means little to dwell upon them. So for us, it's, you know, what can we create and what can we change, what can we influence? And that's, you know, our performances each week. We didn't start the finals the way that we would have liked, but we still felt we were playing okay. And then the last couple of weeks have really played some decent footy, and we feel like we're in a good space.
Let's head to Tigerland now. David Asprey talking about his floating ruck role that we saw over the last couple of weeks.
Initially, I wasn't going to be a part of the travelling party because we were sort of told it was only going to be a maximum of 32 days. But, I've really enjoyed my time and the experience up here, and the group's handled it really well. I'm in there for my ability to compete and half and win contests, and that's why Dimmer threw me the role. Yeah, he just assigned me the role and threw me the shin pad, so to speak, and I got on with the job, and just grateful to be a part of the group and having fun with it. Grigor has an ability to glorify whatever sits in his own wheelhouse, so I won't be claiming it the way he did, but you know, if we're able to get the result on Saturday, I'll raise a glass to Grigor.
To Marlon Pickett now on how hub life has gone for him.
A lot of people saying I was a one-hit wonder. There's times when I felt like I wanted to head home to be with my dad and his sisters and brothers at the time. Just being in the hub life for 100 and so days kind of got a bit depressed. We're living at a hotel, a nice hotel like that. Prison life is a lot different to hub life.
No doubt about that. Done it nicely up there, the Tigers, this season. Marlon Pickett there. We'll hope to go 2 from 2 in terms of grand finals, 1 for him. It's been an amazing 365 days. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning. The Breakfast Club returns next with Huff and Whitey Racing Pulse from 8:30, RSN Central from 10:30. We've got it all covered for you here on Geelong Cup Day. It's going to be a fantastic Wednesday afternoon.